are in our Kingdom Parables series, and we're about to look at the fourth parable that Jesus told about the kingdom. Now, this is a phenomenal passage of Scripture, a very, very important passage of Scripture. Several reasons. One, of course, it's the Word of God, and that alone makes it important. But that it tells us about the age in which we live adds to its importance, because this is the passage that tells us about the time in which we live. But also, you know, it says this is the kingdom of God is like this. And so this is how it's right now happening. The kingdom isn't something that's going to come. We're seeing that the kingdom is like. That's how it works. But not only that makes it important and phenomenal, but also we're learning how it really operates, the kingdom operates, how it's expanding, how it's growing. And that's what I really want to emphasize today, is let us see how the kingdom of God is expanding on this whole planet. Now, Jesus said the kingdom is, and you can see it and you can hear it if you have eyes to see and if you have ears to hear. So I hope we do, because we're going to miss it if we don't. So let's go ahead and read our parable for this week. We're going to read the last week's and this week's together. These two must be associated together. So Matthew 13:31 says this: He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed which a man took and planted in the field. And though it is the smallest of all your seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants. It becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and perch in its branches. And here we go for today. He told them still another parable. Now remember, he doesn't explain them. He's just going right down the list. He's not taking time to explain them. He told them still another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast. The King James Version says leaven, which is a better understanding. As I relate this to you, you'll understand what I'm talking about. Yeast that a woman took and mixed into a large amount of flour until it worked all through the dough. So we talked about the mustard seed last time, and we saw what it was about. And we need to associate that one, the mustard seed, with the yeast and the leaven, because they both speak about the same principle, which is the principle of that small things can have amazing endings. They have massive effects on things, and that the smallest of things in the kingdom have a tremendous influence upon others. And I want to make sure we say it. It's like Terry was talking earlier. Get that a little bit in there. Just a little bit about the kingdom. And it's going to permeate. It's going to grow. It's going to have an effect on them. And this is the way the kingdom works. It started with just a handful of guys. You know, Jesus and 11 guys. And look at it today. It's all over the world. It's worldwide. This is how it really, really works. Now, all the parables that Jesus told were taken from everyday common things. Every single one that he shared is from something that the people were extremely familiar with. And this one, he had watched his mama do since he was just a boy. And every day, wherever he went to eat, he was probably seeing this happen again and again and again. A woman would take some flour or meal and mix it into dough. And then from a piece of bread, a dough that had already been kneaded and set aside and had already fermented and leavened, or yeasted and had leavened, they would take a piece of that bread, a small little piece of that bread already fermented, and put it into the new dough and knead it in. It wasn't necessarily putting yeast into it, just taking a piece of the previous bread made that had been kept and putting it into the new dough and kneading it together. This is what we're talking about. That's what leavening is. Taking something from a previous, put it into the new, and now mixing it, and it causes this fermentation and this to happen. It begins to rise and begins to expand in size. The NIV version says it took a large amount of flour. The King James Version said it takes 3 measures of meal. So I wanted to know, okay, what's the point here? What's Jesus really trying to explain to us and get us to see? Well, so I looked at Bible tools online, and I found that actually 3 measures is about 2 gallons of flour. Now, a normal loaf of bread takes about 3 cups. So we're talking here about making 11 loaves. And the most bread-gorging families couldn't really eat 11 loaves. So we're really not talking about, you know, making a lot of loaves of bread. What Jesus is really emphasizing is that this little piece of leaven, this little thing that's taken from a previous loaf and put into this new loaf of dough, this new lump of dough, putting into that has this tremendous, massive effect on this dough. And so his point is that the small amount makes a huge, an amazing difference, has a tremendous influence on the dough. So I believe that we would all agree, wouldn't we not, that dough or bread that has been yeasted or leavened is superior to bread that has not been. Bread that has not been is flat, it's bland, it's tasteless, it's hard. But bread that has been yeasted or leavened is fluffy, it's moist, it's flavorful. And so what we're seeing here is not that it only has a massive effect on a large amount, but it influences it for the positive. It influences it for the better. And so when it gets into us, it should make us better, is the thought here. And another thing that it says is that the woman mixed the leaven into. It doesn't do any good until it's mixed into. You know, a lot of times we get upset with people, but they've never had it mixed into them. It doesn't do any good at all if you've got it and you're not taking it and mixing it into. It's got to be mixed into. But once it's mixed into, it's not limited by its small size because it is so powerful. And it will cause it to rise. It will cause it to expand. It causes it to make it much, much better. Now, the power of the kingdom is great. It's not limited by how much. It's not limited by its size, but it's because it's so powerful. And this, I just can't want to make sure I get that across, that it's so powerful. The loaf not only rises higher, but the whole loaf expands in every direction. Now, let's make this real. What happens to us when we get the kingdom of God into us? What happens is that we rise to a new level of life, but we also expand in every direction. When the kingdom of God comes into your life, you should expand. Everything about life should be tastier. Everything in life should be better. Everything about life should be rising to a new and a better level all the time. Your finances should be expanding. Your marriage should be expanding. Your children should be expanding. The way you work at your job, that should be expanding. You know what? You'll even have a new Bible. When you really begin to understand the kingdom, the Bible expands. Everything about life expands when the kingdom of God truly gets into you. I don't know of a single person that I've ever shared the kingdom of God with and got it into them like the good soil that received it, that their life just didn't get better and better and better. And some of you, I look at your life and I see that the kingdom is in there and your life gets better and better and better. But I look at people, you know, that rejected it. And I see a flat, tasteless life. I see a life that's not expanding. Their marriages stink. Their finances stink. I won't say too much about their children. Things don't go well. But when the kingdom of God is needed into your life, and it begins to work its magic, it's what it does into you, everything about life expands. Now, that's what Jesus is talking about here, about the kingdom of God is like. So we got that. Now, it's powerful. The leaven is powerful. But what I want to do now is I want to kind of show you a warning that Jesus gave about leaven. It's powerful in the positive when it's the kingdom, but it's also powerful in the negative. It's just as powerful in the negative when it's just bad doctrine. So let me show you this. In Matthew chapter 16 and verse 6, it says this, "Then Jesus said unto them," the disciples, "take heed and beware." Say that back. Say, "take heed and beware." Take heed and. Double warning. This is serious. Jesus is giving a double warning take heed and beware of something. I'm telling you today, what I'm about to show you and tell you is extremely important. It's powerful. It'll make you better or it'll make you worse. It's according on which one you receive. Take heed and beware of what? The leaven of what? Of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Now, if you're just reading the Bible, you're thinking, what is he talking about? You know? What is this? So let me set it up for you just a little bit. Jesus had gone across the lake with his guys, and they got to the other side, and he says, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And they thought he was upset with them because they had forgotten bread. And so he says, you guys don't get it, do you? He says, I multiply bread for 5,000. I multiply bread for 4,000. That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is bewaring of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. He explained it to them, and then they got it. In verse 12, it says this, then understood they how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the what?
Doctrine.
Of the what?
Doctrine.
How important is, take heed and beware of the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Jesus says, this is so important. You guys got to get it. There's a double warning here. This is so serious. Let me try to explain it to you. I use the term a lot of times, and you'll hear it a lot of times, religion is negative. And it's negative in that it's legalistic. Let me try to work here a little bit. They're synoptic in my mind because I put religion and legalism together, because that's the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Now, the Bible talks about religion, and in the book of Jude, and Jesus, the brother of Jesus, he writes about this, in the book of James, rather, he writes about this, and what he says is that true religion is, first of all, guarding your tongue. That's what true religion first and foremost is taking care of your own tongue. But then he says it's taking care of orphans and it's taking care of widows and it's making sure you are not polluted by the world. He says that's not what the Pharisees and the Sadducees taught. What they taught was legalism. They would take something that was meant for good and make it bad with rules and regulations. And everything that was supposed to set us free ends up putting us in bondage. And Jesus says, I come to set you free. And who the Son sets free is what?
Free
indeed. I want you to be free. Now here's what I'm talking about. You see, He wants us to love God because we want to love God, not because we're made to love God, not because the law says you got to love God, you got to pray, you got to give, No, I want you to do it because you want to do it out of your heart. That's the kingdom. And the enemy to the kingdom is religion and legalism. They took whatever was good, God gave us to be good, and make it bad with legalism. For example, the Sabbath. You know, Jesus says the Sabbath is made for man, not man for the Sabbath. What does that mean? It means it's supposed to be something good for you. Give you a day off. You know, just rest. Rest you. Rest the animals. Rest the land. Rest your children. Rest everybody. You know, take it easy. But they went ahead and started putting all these laws that you can only walk so far, you can only do this, you can only do that. And they made the day off legalistic. And that's what religion... Jesus says, beware of them. That's the enemy to the kingdom. Love God from your heart because you want to love God. Give because you want to give. Worship because you want to worship. Not because the preacher stands up here and says, we need to worship. Raise your hands. No, because in your heart you're saying, I want to love Him. I want to praise Him. See, that's the difference. And Jesus says, beware of the legalism. Beware of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And He's talking here about doctrine. Every single one of us at one time was a brand new lump of dough. And whether you want to admit it or not, you're leavened. I am leavening you right now. Do you understand the principle? I'm taking a piece of me, my understanding and knowledge, and I'm putting it into your minds. I'm leavening you right now. And Jesus is saying, you better take heed. You better beware who you let into your mind. Because it's going to permeate. It's going to expand. It's going to either make you hard, or it's going to make you good. And so what he's talking about here as he gives this warning is something so strong and so powerful. Be careful who you allow to teach you, because it not only influences you, it influences your spouse, it influences your children, it influences your grandchildren. This is serious, serious stuff. It'll make you legalistic, or it'll bring you into the kingdom of God. It will get into us. And you know, it affects everything. And I try my very best to give you notes with every single scripture I use. I try to keep it in context of what we're talking about. And sometimes even take time to make sure you get the context in which it's used. But I'm still awed at how many of you never check me out. You don't bring your Bibles. You don't look. You say, well, you're Pastor Delbert. You know, you're not going to steer us wrong. Well, let me give you my history. When I came into the kingdom, I was dispensationalist king. I mean, I had my charts, didn't I? I drew my own charts. I mean, I had the beast with all the heads and then I mean, I had us raptured. I had little people flying out of it up in the sky. I mean, I was awesome. I was. And this was back in the late 70s, early 80s, you know, when they were telling us, man, any minute, 88 reasons why Jesus is going to come in 88. How many? See, some of you don't remember that stuff. That's where I was, and that's what I preached. And I was teaching my Sunday school class. I was teaching them the book of Revelation. We were going through the book of Revelation. I raptured everybody in chapter 4. That's what we're supposed to do. That's what it taught. Window opened in heaven, said, I heard a voice say, come up hither. That's the rapture. It's got to be, right? Even though it doesn't say it, that's what it's got to be. And by the way, the word rapture is not in your Bible. I don't know if you know that or not. Why am I doing that? I don't mean to. Anyway, yeah, go check it out. Okay. So then I'm teaching through the pre-trib rapture. So I'm moving through in chapter 7. Well, there's another multitude up in heaven. I said, well, maybe it's mid-trib. You know? So I raptured everybody again, you know. I was wrong the first time. This is obviously it. So then we get to the chapter 14. And there's another multitude. I said, well, maybe it's post-trib. I'm confused. I've got my students in my class confused. Judy says, what are you going to teach Sunday in Sunday school? I said, I'm stopping. I'm quitting. I am obviously wrong. I don't know what the truth is, but I know what I'm teaching isn't the truth. I am a Pharisee. I'm a Sadducee. I am putting wrong leaven, negative leaven, into people. I am messing people up. I'm teaching the wrong thing. And I went on a journey to study out myself what I'm telling you to do. I went on a journey to find out. And I found out some truth that set me free. And the truth will set you free, people. It won't make it legalistic. It's not going to come at you with a great tribulation. God is not going to make you serve Him. He's not going to force you and threaten you with that stuff. I ask you a question. The person that taught you that, where did they get it? I just told you. All right. They were leavened. And so they leavened you. Now there's another leaven. There's a kingdom leaven. And Jesus uses the aspect of it in the aspects of the kingdom, in the context of the kingdom, as a very strong and powerful and good thing. But he also says there's a negative leaven. And what that negative leaven is to you, you better beware and take heed. You better watch out. It will mess you up. I'll tell you a quick story. This was years ago. I got to read one more scripture too. Let me go ahead and read the scripture and then I'll tell you the story. 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 6 says this. Your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven messes up, leaveneth the whole lump. This is negative again. Paul says there's immorality in the church and it's going to mess up everything. We would say one bad apple messes up the whole bunch. And so in one context, it's very positive and very powerful and will change you for the good and tasty and expand your life in a great way. In the negative way, and what Jesus is warning us about, and Paul is warning us about here in the scriptures, is that it's also just as powerful in the negative way. It will influence you in a very negative, bad way. So, I want to tell you a quick story, because you really need to study this out. We were having a conference here This was years and years ago, I guess late 80s, early 90s, and Kelly Varner was here. Now, some of you may have heard of him. He's a great kingdom teacher. And we brought him just to do that. Well, this preacher and his wife came down from Chattanooga. They'd heard of Kelly Varner, and they wanted to see him. And so they came to the thing, and Kelly presented the kingdom. After the service was over, this preacher had just retired. He came up to us, and he said, "I have messed up." He said, "I've been told all of my life to get ready for the rapture, to go ahead and run your credit card bills up, leave them for the devil." He says, "I don't have any money for retirement because I so believed in this rapture. I so believed what I was taught." You may say, "Well, you know, that's dumb, don't it?" Yeah, it was. But that's the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. It will mess you up in every area of your life. Jesus said, "Take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees." Every single one of you need to search this out and find out. Not just let me leaven you. You need to let the Word of God leaven you. Let the Spirit of God leaven you. Search it out. Listen, go get you a computer program. Put it in your computer, a Bible program, and run it. Go online. There's a lot of information online. Hey, you could even get one now for your iPhone. You can get a Bible program. But search this out. This is, beware, take heed, Jesus said. This is serious, serious stuff. What you allow to get into you, because it will make you better, or it'll make you flat. It'll make life good and tasty, or it'll mess life up. Take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. Every one of us, you are a new lump. I'm a new lump as we come to Christ. But be extremely cautious of what you let into you. And here's what you'll find, because I really believe that the leaven of the kingdom is way more powerful than the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. I really believe that, because I was leavened with the Pharisees and Sadducees stuff, but now the kingdom of God has gotten into me. And do you know now what happens when I start hearing the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees? It actually repulses me. It actually makes me sick. I'll start screaming at the television. I'll turn it off. I'll change stations. I will not listen to it because it actually makes my spirit sick. And once the kingdom gets into you, you will not. You beware of it. You take heed of it. You don't even let it. You don't listen to it. You just don't let it get in, because all it does is mess you up. So Jesus explained the leaven of the kingdom as kneaded into a person, kneaded into a life. A little bit of one is taken from a lump and put it into the lump, and it's kneaded into, and it begins this massive thing. And so this always upset people. The Pharisees and the Sadducees were extremely upset and troubled by the leaven that Jesus was bringing. And it's always been that way. Whenever the kingdom person presented something, it always caused trouble. Always. I was thinking about that, you know, and in the Old Testament even it was true. I was thinking about the time when Ahab and Elijah met. Remember the story about Elijah? He had shut up heaven and hadn't rained for 3.5 years. Hadn't rained for 3.5 years. And so Ahab, the husband of Jezebel, ran into Elijah. And here's what Ahab said to him in 1 Kings 18:17. When Ahab saw Elijah, Ahab said to him, "Is it you, you troubler of Israel?" Whenever the leaven of the kingdom is being presented, there is trouble. It's going to stir things up. It's going to do some fermenting. It's going to start some things boiling and changing. And it's even more so in the New Testament, in the kingdom, when it began. In Acts chapter 17 and verse 6, Paul and Silas are on mission journey, and this is what it says: "These men who have caused trouble all over the world have now come here." Acts 16:20, they brought them before the magistrates and said, "These men are Jews and are throwing our city into uproar." The kingdom, when it comes, always brings an uproar. And I remember when I first came to town, I was consistently, on a regular basis, getting phone calls. And people were in an uproar and troubled about the messages I taught concerning the kingdom. They were in an uproar and all messed up about the music we played. Now they all play the same music. Some of them are even preaching this message. And so what? You know what? I have leavened the city. We have leavened. And you look around now, you go to just about any church you want to, any of them. You know what they call it? A contemporary praise and worship service. Well, our whole thing is contemporary praise and worship. I mean, you know. And so what we've done is we're seeing how this really works. We were the first. But we weren't the last. Because it's truth, and it does. It gets into it, and it works, and it does its thing. And I'm still causing people trouble. I've troubled some of you. It began with one baby in a manger who took his leaven and put it into 11 men. Kneaded them. Worked it. Who took it and put it into 120 people. Kneaded it and worked it. The 120 turned into 3,000. 3,000 turned into 5,000. Why? Because of the leaven. It's working. It's working. And today I looked it up. The most recent study shows that there's now 2.1 billion. With a B. Billion leavened with a kingdom. This is how it works. It's not by force. It's not by threatening. It's with leaven. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven. 2.1 billion people. The kingdom is moving. It's permeating this world. As we talked about last time, Terry related to it earlier, that even the nations who relate now to the United States of America come and rest in its branches are now affected positively by the leaven of America, because America is leavened with the kingdom. And so it gets into them. And we talked about it last time, all the benefits from it. The nations that have been experiencing this, the freedom, the dignity of life, the justice, the sense of right and wrong, the education, the enterprise, the dignity of women, the care of the children, the care of the poor, and on and on and on and go, because of leaven. Because people got in there and they leavened it. All of that comes out of the leaven, and just the opposite is just as true. The nations that have rejected it, you look at them. They're in poverty. They're in oppression. There's no dignity of life, no dignity for women. There's no care of children. There's no hospitalization or good health cares. And I mean, it's just totally opposite. See, the kingdom is expanding, and it's bubbling, and it's fermenting, and it's doing its amazing work. It's rising, and it's flavoring this world for the better. It's making the world is better because of the kingdom of God. We discussed in the parable of the wheat and the tares how Jesus said the tares are going to grow right alongside the wheat. There's a harvest day coming, we know that, but I think a part of why he allows them to just grow alongside the wheat is hoping that the wheat will leaven the tares. And that maybe, each one of us with a weed growing beside us can somehow leaven it, because the leaven of the kingdom is so much powerful than the leaven of the world. God planted a little piece of leaven in Bethlehem in a stinking stable in a manger. But it's going to grow and permeate and cover this whole world until every knee shall bow, until every tongue confesses that Jesus is the Christ and He's the Lord of all. And now that leaven is in me, and that leaven is in you. And the way we can kind of term it and look at it is the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is in me. The Spirit of God is in you and is moving all over this world. All over this world. Moving mightily, changing things, making things better through the Spirit of God. Me and you and 2.1 billion others. It's moving mightily and it's picking up speed. I want you to see today that the plan is not to do what the Crusaders did and make people become Christians. That's not God's plan. God's plan is not a great tribulation to make people receive His mark. That's not His plan. His plan is not to escape the church in a rapture so that He can bring judgment upon the world. That's not the plan. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven. And it's going to go through this planet. It's going to go through this earth until it affects every single soul. How genius is that? How amazing is that? How simple is that? But here's the thing, how effective is that? That's genius. I want to give you just a few statistics that will help you and encourage you as they did me. So let me show you these, and I'll give you the notes as to where I acquired these in your notes. Today, there are 100 million Christians in China. We used to call it Communist China. Now it's Red China because there is no communist no more, right? The Antichrist and all that stuff. But anyway, now it's Red China. And now there's 100 million Christians in Red China. And 300,000 people come to Jesus Christ every single day in China. Is that wild? Do you know that there are 10,000 to 15,000 house churches in Cuba? Churches are beginning every day. People are coming to Christ every day as the leaven goes forth. You know, the good thing that's going to come out of this Afghanistan and Iraq thing, if nothing else, is that a door has been made now to leaven Afghanistan and leaven Iraq with the kingdom. It's in there now, and it's working, and it's moving. They're going to come out of there way better because the kingdom of God, when it gets in, it always makes it better. The king's plan has worked. And the king's plan is working. Let me show you this one more statistic. According to Wikipedia, the United Bible Societies are presently assisting in over 600 Bible translation projects. What does that mean? They're translating the Bible into 600 new languages that it's never been translated into before. 600. The Bible is available in whole or in part to about 98% of the world's population in a language in which they are fluent. In spite of the pathway soil, where the seed is thrown and the fowls of the evil one comes and snatches it away immediately, in spite of the shallow rocky soil where the roots can't go down, and as soon as it sprouts up, the persecutions and the sun, as it were, withers it away, in spite of the thorny soil that choke the kingdom, the seed out, and in spite of that, with the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches, in spite of that, there's good soil. There's good soil. And in that good soil, wheat is growing. Even though tares are growing along with the wheat, it's still growing. It's still going well. See, the plan is to bring the kingdom not through the Great Tribulation or through a rapture of the church. The plan of the king is to bring the kingdom through a mustard seed. It will grow, cover the earth. And the people can come and find nest and find resources and life in its branches. The kingdom is like leaven as it goes and permeates the whole world and planet. I share this with you real quickly. Church is everywhere. And church is big. And it's going. My son is a pastor at a 13,000-member church. And what's amazing is you go there, and they're lined up to get in. And then there's another service lined up to come in after that service. And then there's another service lined up to come in after that service. No, we don't see this around here. I told you, I wish I could pack every single one of you up one Sunday and just take you down there and let you see it. It's amazing. And they have to have police out there directing traffic. My daughter goes to Andy Stanley's church down there. And it's 20,000 people. Service after service after service after service, maxed out with thousands and thousands of people. My point is that the kingdom is moving. And it's moving every day. People are being saved. It's moving every day. Churches are beginning. It's moving in this whole planet. This whole planet. Jesus said this, Matthew 16:18. I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not. No Antichrist. No tribulation. Nothing. No, nothing gates. No, nothing hell can build and put up against is going to stop my church. Nothing. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. It will not stop it. Never will. The king's plan is advancing. He says, from the time of John the Baptist unto now, the kingdom of God is advancing. Revelation kind of sums it up and kind of throws us into an end time or an end age, as it will be at the end. In Revelation chapter 11, verse 15, it says this: the seventh angel sounded his trumpet, and there were loud voices in heaven which said, The kingdom of this world has become what? The kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ. And he will reign forever and ever and ever and ever. So if anything, this parable should encourage you and encourage me. It does me, because it's in this parable I see how it works. I really can get a handle on this. I can get my head wrapped around it, because not only do I hear it preached, but also I can look into history, as Terry was talking earlier. You can look into history and you can see it. It's coming. It's here. History proves it. The kingdom works. God doesn't need, and he hasn't planned for, anything else. The way he's planning it to happen is through the mustard seed growing and through the leaven permeating and fermenting and making things better and better and better. So, the question for you and me today is, who are you leavening? Who are you taking a piece of you and kneading it into someone else? It doesn't take much. It's not limited by how much you know. It's only limited by, are you getting it in them? You see, it's powerful, powerful stuff. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you that your kingdom is so simple, but yet it's so profound. It's so powerful. It's in each and every one of us. So, Father, I ask you today as we close that you'll challenge each of us with, who are we leavening? What are we doing to advance the kingdom? Who at work? Do we talk about it at home with our children, with a spouse? Do we talk to it about it with our friends? Do we look this stuff up and prove it biblically? What are we doing to expand the kingdom of God? Who are we leavening? With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, that's just a challenge. And as much as I do, I feel like I could do more. There are times I have opportunity to share the kingdom and leaven somebody. I don't take it. I don't do it. How about you? If you feel like me, that you could probably do a little bit better, that you could leaven a little more, you could share the gospel of the kingdom a little bit more. If you, like me, feel that way, would you, along with me, raise your hand right where you're sitting and let me pray for us all. Father, I see these hands. You see these hands. Lord, we're leaven, and we want to be put into people's lives so, Lord, we can leaven their lives. Let us, Lord God, affect those tares. Let us affect those lumps of dough, Lord God, that you bring into our lives. Let us preach the kingdom. Let us bring the kingdom. Let us expand the kingdom in this whole planet. Father, I ask you to bless us now and be with us. Head still bowed and eyes closed. Now, maybe you're not where you need to be with God. And you know it. You came in here today knowing, you know, I'm not where I need to be with the Lord. And you see, your life's flat. There's no flavor in your life. It's bland. Things aren't going well. You're not expanding. In fact, you're reducing. Your finances are reducing. Your marriage is reducing. Your children are giving you all sorts of fits and work. All these things going the wrong direction. Well, here's the reason. Is you need more of the kingdom in you. You need more of God. You need to get it straightened out. And what the Lord is telling you today and promising you today is that if you will come to me, I will draw nigh to you. I will come in with my spirit and we'll leaven. We'll make things tasty. We'll make things good. So if that's you, you just know you're not where you need to be with God. Life's flat. It can be better. Maybe you've never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, but you want to. You want to get things right with God, if that's you, would you, right where you're sitting, would you raise your hand and just let me pray for you right where you're sitting? I see a hand right there, another one here, any others?